Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the program, live and underway here on the Big X, and glad to have you with us. Tom Allen, Coach of the Year, at least winning one of the big Coach of the Year award in college football, the AFCA, the American Football Coaches Association Bowl Subdivision National Coach of the Year. He was announced as the winner. They had their virtual convention yesterday during the awards presentation on Tuesday afternoon. So congratulations to Coach Allen. Probably as fitting as maybe a handful of coaches in the running at his level this year with the accomplishments and the movement forward he had with his program. But nonetheless, a big accomplishment for him. You can add just another bullet point of great accomplishments, rare accomplishments for this Indiana football program this season. And as you look at the offseason and the work that's ahead now for this program, we talked yesterday that Indiana is being, you know, projected out there with pretty good standing, pretty good ranking if you want to look at those already, way too early for next season. But the recruiting is the big deal ahead to continue the momentum, to maybe even take a step forward. And a Coach of the Year addition to your resume makes you one of the hottest coaches in the country and makes players listen, I would sure think. And so as Coach Allen goes around this offseason, recruiting in-state, out-of-state, down south, Florida, wherever it may be, that title of Coach of the Year. And he's still up for some other Coaches of the Year awards also, and he's already won some Conference Coach of the Year by the media, Conference Coach of the Year by the coaches vote as well. But those things obviously help you from a recruiting perspective as well. And so even though Indiana didn't win the bowl game, I know that's a big disappointment to a lot of IU football fans, there are some positives. Number 12 in the country in the final AP Top 25, Tom Allen winning a lot of these awards. And also, again, I know they don't mean anything. They're not worth their weight in anything right now. But the fact that ESPN and many other outlets in their way early looks at next season are already projecting good things from the Hoosiers keeps Indiana's brand out there as a building football program. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, in just a few moments, we'll begin with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot to get to today in the headlines coming up here in just a minute. I want to talk some about Michigan. I don't know if you saw their game last night against Wisconsin, but wow, the Wolverines playing great basketball right now. They are alone and at the top of the Big Ten Conference, and so I want to spend a couple minutes on that. We'll also take a look at a couple high school games last night. NBA's making a lot of changes, minor changes, but when you look at it across the board, it really adds up to some of these regulations going in effect now. NBA Players Association and the league office have been working, trying to keep coronavirus at a minimum. There have been a number of games canceled. I saw the Celtics now have lost 3 scheduled games in a row. And so I think that there's some urgency to get control of things, and I'll mention that coming up in our headlines also and a few other notes as well. Later in the program, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com joins us. You know, we kind of had a football season wrap last week with Matt when he joined the program, but I thought with Coach Allen winning the award yesterday and Indiana really being projected in the top 10 of a lot of these way early looks at next season, it was worth another chat today with Matt, and so he's going to stop by in segment two. Later in the program, we'll be joined, as always, on Wednesdays by Josh Cook. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. That segment is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. And, of course, we'll get into some hoops with Josh. We'll talk college hoops with some local players doing well at the Division I and other levels, and the latest in high school basketballs. We've got another great week of games coming up this weekend. Jeff Floyd Central, I think probably the highlight, at least for me, it's where we'll be Friday night with our Friday night game here on the Big X. But another rivalry and another look at the Hoosier Hills Conference and potentially at a Seymour sectional matchup as well. We'll cover that and more with Josh when he's with us later today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with locations, one in Jeffersonville, one in New Albany as well. I tell you what, Michigan is really at the top of the Big Ten, literally and figuratively right now. Here in the middle of January, they are a perfect 6-0 in the conference. And last night was kind of the icing on the cake, I thought, for the Wolverines as far as their start of the season. Of course, Michigan is ranked number 5. One of their most impressive performances, if not their most impressive performance, of what's been a really good season for Juwan Howard and the Wolverines. They beat Wisconsin. It was a blowout over number 9 ranked Wisconsin, 77-54, the final score in that game. Michigan absolutely stifling on defense, really slowing Wisconsin down. But a huge win for Michigan. They are legit. I mean, they got off to a good start in the Big Ten. That's one thing. So did Northwestern. They got off to a good start as well, and they're still solid. I'm not knocking Northwestern, but Michigan has continued on and continued on down the path of being a really elite Big Ten team. In fact, I saw someone say last night they may be a national championship-type contender with the start of the season that they've had. I think you have to look at them coming out of the Big Ten maybe as a potential Final Four matchup. And, of course, they will be seeing the Hoosiers here coming down the road in just a bit. But Wisconsin, who I've been high on this season, I think a lot of people have, their last 20-point loss came back January 16th of 2018 against Purdue, 92 games ago. You would have to go backwards to see Wisconsin take a loss as bad as what they did last night to Michigan. The program, Wisconsin, has only had 4 20-point losses since the 2010-11 season. I would be curious if someone would take the time to go back and count up those same stats for Indiana, how many 20-point losses Indiana has had going back to 2010. But, wow, Michigan with quite the performance last night and the victory over Wisconsin as well. And another thing, I saw John Gassaway of ESPN tweet about this. When Juwan Howard, member of the Fab Five, former NBA player, former NBA coach, I guess mainly just an assistant coach, when he was hired, some people knocked him, and I think that we wondered what he would be like as a college coach. It's different from the NBA. Obviously, a lot of coaching things would be the same, but there are some things different in the X's and O's as well. And you add in recruiting, which is completely different and something you're always doing, working to build your roster for the future. And I know it's still early. I know that Juwan Howard will be judged in time, not just right now, but so far, with the success that Michigan has seen on the court, they've been really good. But also recruiting has been outstanding. I mean, he has some really good classes lining up for the future, including this 2021 class of guys that are seniors right now in high school. So enough about Michigan, but I think it's worth paying attention to their success so far this season. They are really off to quite the start. Now we'll see if that can continue as we move deeper and deeper into conference play. And just to look at the Big Ten real quick, I mentioned Michigan 6-0 on the season. Right behind Michigan, you have Iowa. They are 5-1 on the year. And then behind Iowa would be Illinois at 5-2. Then Wisconsin with the loss last night. They dropped to 4-2 in the conference. And then you've got a handful of teams with 3 wins. In fact, you've got a handful of teams that are 3-3, 500 on the conference season. Ohio State, Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, they all are 3-3. then you've got Minnesota and Rutgers that are 3 wins and 4 losses on the season. So looking at it from an IU perspective on Thursday night, you're tied in with a bunch of teams right there in the middle of the conference. And I'll be honest with you, if Indiana can beat Purdue on Thursday night, improve to a 4-3 record. I know they've got Michigan State coming up who's 2-4, but really you can throw their record out the window. They can beat anybody on any given night in the conference. Indiana wins Thursday, at least temporarily. I think they'll bump up into that top four, top five class of the conference for whatever that's worth here at the middle of January. But with a deadlock of a lot of teams there in the middle, it locked up at a 3-3 record. It just underscores the importance of Thursday's game, especially ahead of a really interesting stretch for this Indiana team. NBA, just to touch on this for a moment, I think it's interesting. Outside of the bubble, things are much more difficult for the NBA with not as many regulations and mainly the ability to simply control what the players do. When you've got them in hotels and you've got bands on them and you can track everything, and it's just much easier to stay on top of all this. But we've seen a lot of NBA cancellations. Some teams have key players out. Just a lot of odd situations, it seems, going on with the NBA right now. But a ton of protocols approved yesterday by the league office and the NBA Players Association. I don't even know where to start when I look at them, but masks will be much more required. There won't be the exceptions for when you come out of the game where you don't have to have a mask on. Much more detailed rules, regulations, whatever you want to call it, on the interactions that players can have on the court, even with their own players, but specifically against players on other teams as far as handshaking and touching and things like that. And then, of course, they're really trying to limit the players and staff to remain at their residence except to attend team-related activities at facilities or arenas and to perform essential activities. Don't go outside unless it's a essential activity outside of a game. So they are really putting some limits, and I'm not sure how NBA players will react to that. I know guests will no longer be allowed at hotels on the road. Players were, as of earlier this week, allowed to have guests in the room. So a number of changes for the NBA as they try to maybe correct some cancellations and postponements and a number of players and teams having issues right now. I mentioned the Celtics. I think they're kind of leading the way. They've missed 3 straight games with the possibility of more, I do believe. And so it'll be interesting to see. We don't talk a lot of NBA. We follow some former Hoosiers. We follow Romeo Langford, who's out and injured. We talked about him yesterday on the program. But I find it very interesting to see how sports leagues are dealing with some of the coronavirus issues. And the NBA, they really set the standard last year in the bubble. In fact, it had everyone wondering if college basketball and conference basketball should not be in a bubble as well. Obviously, outside of the bubble, with all the travel and just so much going on, the NBA, it's been a lot tougher so far this season. High school basketball last night, got to mention the Bulldogs of New Albany. They improved to 7-3 on the season. And I tell you what, their backcourt duo of Caden Stanton and Tucker Bivin playing some really good basketball right now. Coming off the win over Jeffersonville on Friday, New Albany got 22 points from Caden Stanton, 21 points from Tucker Bivin as well. New Albany and both of those guys specifically shot the lights out yesterday and beat a really good Southwestern team, 79-54. Southwestern came into the game with just 1 loss. That's loss number 2 last night for the Rebels, and they are kind of a front runner, I think, in that 2A sectional, which includes Providence and Clarksville as well. But New Albany playing good basketball. Last night at the Doghouse, I've got a picture I'm going to tweet out later, but I tell you what, just an odd environment. There have been a number of oddities, as we knew there would be this season, playing during a pandemic. The Jeffersonville, New Albany game was very odd as well, because both counties had just went red. There could only be immediate households at the contest last night. But when you show up last night at the Doghouse, one side of the bleachers pushed in. The benches are on, obviously, that side with a lot of space between them. And then just very few fans. It's just, even 1,000 had been allowed, up to 1,000, not always 1,000 came, but up to 1,000 had been allowed at games so far this season. But this game, this Tuesday night game, the first the Bulldogs for them as a home game during this red time, as the county red as of last Wednesday. We'll find out today around noon what Clark and Floyd counties are as far as a designation of the county this week. But definitely an odd look at the doghouse last night. I think we're all used to being that's one place that when there's a game, weeknight, weekend, big game, rivalry game, not a rivalry game, you expect a pretty good crowd. Even just a normal crowd is a pretty good crowd at the doghouse. But very odd last night with just a handful of people in the gym for New Albany's win over Southwestern. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break and come back with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com as we talk Tom Allen, Coach of the Year, getting one of the big awards yesterday and how that can help him and help the Hoosiers and specifically help recruiting in the offseason. We'll get Matt's opinion on some of these early polls for next year. The Hoosiers, I think, as high as number 7 in one of the polls, but definitely in the top 10 and many of them that I've seen for whatever they are worth so far this season. IU football coming up in the next segment with Matt Weaver. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. He's the football writer for Pigs, joins us as we talk IU football. And, Matt, I want to start today with Tom Allen, named the AFCA Coach of the Year yesterday. It's one of the big postseason awards out there for coaches, and he was announced during their virtual award ceremony yesterday. So big stuff for him, big stuff for the IU program, as the list of accomplishments from this 2020-21 season continues to add up for the football Hoosiers.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, great honor for him, well-deserved. It obviously also kicks in, you know, one of his bonuses. I think it's $100,000 for a National Coach of the Year award, and then he also got the Big Ten one, which was, I think, 50. So, you know, it's a good deal for him in a number of ways. I mean, obviously the prestige and the honor of getting that is probably most important to him, but you know, an extra $100,000 probably doesn't hurt either. But it's just, you know, more of a reflection of what Indiana did this season. And obviously, as we talked about last week, the bowl game was disappointing, but overall, it was still a quality season. And a lot of guys, obviously head coach and then players, and then you know, Coach Kane Womack getting, you know, being a finalist for the Broyles Award, which is obviously a very, very big honor. I think there was 5 finalists, I believe. He didn't win it, but still, to be a finalist is a huge deal. So a lot of recognition, and like I said, well-deserved, because this team had a great season. A lot of guys did big things, and they were rightfully recognized for that.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, joining us. I've got to believe that this is just common sense, but you can expand on it more. When Tom Allen calls, let's not even use an in-state football prospect as an example. Let's use maybe someone down south or from the state of Florida. When IU calls or Tom Allen calls and really wants somebody or wants to at least get involved seriously with a prospect, having those type of accolades behind your name coming out of this season, especially the National Coach of the Year award yesterday, that's got to aid recruiting. I know that's a common sense thing you would think, but maybe you can expand on how that opens up doors even more.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, and you bring up a guy from the South. There's a story that was just put on our site by Andrew Ivins, who's Andrew's down at base in South Florida in the Miami area, and he does a great job covering players down there. Jalen Marshall from Hallandale, Florida, South Florida area. 4-star guy, has offers from Alabama, Auburn, I mean, on and on and on. And one of the first schools he mentioned, he was at a 7-on-7 type of tournament down there. And Indiana was one of the first schools he mentioned. And obviously, I think the season is one of the reasons why. What they did and all the national publicity they got, and then, you know, everybody talking about Tom Allen and you know, obviously coach of the year now and all this stuff. And he mentions in here, you know, the Tom Allen's program and how they're recruiting them hard and how phenomenal they are. I mean, it's people starting to take notice. And now, you know, obviously you still got to finish the deal with these guys, but getting in the door and being a school that they're mentioning right away when they have all these other huge offers, you know, all these big time programs, it says a lot. It shows where this program is, where it's come to and where it's headed and how much, you know, how high the ceiling could be. So, like I said, you still got to finish the deal. You got to get them. I mean, getting mentioned is nice, but you know, at the end of the day, you got to get some of these guys, and they're doing a good job of that. The recruiting's picked up, and what happened this year, and all the pub and praise that Tom Allen and his staff got, you know, it all just, you know, makes it not easy, but easier to get in the door with these guys.
Talking to Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, some IU football. Matt, what do you make of last week? We kind of asked you for a wrap of the season after the bowl loss, and you know, still a lot of good things accomplished this year by the program. But now that we are through the national championship game on Monday, Indiana really being consistently mentioned in these way early polls for next season, and they're not worth anything right now, but it's not just one poll that has Indiana in the top 10 or has Indiana ranked. It's a lot of the outlets putting these out, a lot of the national football guys that do their own versions of an early look at next season. Basically, consistently, from what I've seen, Indiana has been in the top 10 in many of these polls that have come out for next season. I'm curious your thoughts on that. Does that surprise you at all? And do you really believe Indiana has the opportunity to be top? Yeah, I don't know if I want to say top five, but somewhere between 5 and 10 when the season begins next year.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, I mean, they may be, because I think if they would have beat Ole Miss, I think they're a strong case would have been made for top 10. I think at worst, I think I've seen them around, you know, maybe 15 is the lowest I've seen them so far. And obviously these are awfully early. There's still guys to make decisions and stuff and, you know, roster adjustments to happen between now and then. But yeah, I think, with the number of players they got coming back, you know, I think it's not at all a reach to say they're a top 15, top 10, possibly team in the preseason team in the country. You know, what'll be interesting is obviously coming into this year, even after the 8-1 season last year, they were still kind of under the radar, and then they beat Penn State with that dramatic, you know, dramatic finish, and then a couple weeks later, you know, really put it to Michigan, but they were still kind of, you know, the team that was doing the hunting. Now they're going to be the hunted. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think that'll phase these guys. I think this next year you're going to have a really veteran team. A lot of juniors and seniors that have played a lot. So I think, you know, I think they'll be okay with that. But it will be interesting because now they're going to be one of the teams are coming for. They're going to be the team that teams are going to try to knock off because of what they've done, you know, the last 2 years and especially this past season. So, you know, it'll be interesting to be in that situation. It's not happened obviously often for Indiana where they're a team that's, you know, a ranked team and, you know, maybe they're the favorite going into a lot of their games and teams are trying to knock them down instead of the other way around.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, our guest talking IU football for next season. Interesting as well to see Indiana ahead of Notre Dame in a lot of these polls for next year.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I think, you know, probably Notre Dame's losing a lot of guys. And they're still, and like a lot of those programs, they got great players coming up. But, you know, the thing is, you know, you haven't seen these guys play. I mean, you know what they are as a high school recruit, what they were rated and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's you know, when you lose a bunch of guys, you're probably going to take a bit of a hit. But, you know, Brian Kelly's done a really good job up there. I know when they played in these playoff games and some of these bowl games, they've not fared well. But, you know, I think there's a number of teams in the country that would probably trade places with Notre Dame and their success over the last decade in a heartbeat. So, you know, while what they've done in the bowl games hasn't been great, you know, it's still a fine program. But it is kind of cool. I mean, let's be honest, it's kind of cool to see Indiana ranked ahead of Notre Dame in a football poll, because that's, I'm sure it's happened before, but it's probably been a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, our guest. Update us on where things stand with guys coming back. A lot of seniors, there's an extra year of eligibility available thanks to the NCAA. And, of course, Indiana backed that up, saying that any athlete across the board that wanted to come back for an additional year, they would fund that, which is I think, a great thing, although a costly thing for the athletic department, not just football, but the athletic department across the board. Who's taking advantage of that? Who's not? And then in addition to seniors that are deciding if they're going to come back or not for that extra year, what about the Hoosiers and the NFL declaring for the draft for next season, for this offseason?
Yeah, they've had some guys make announcements. You know, the kind of the big one was Ty Freifogel, who said he is coming back, you know, Big Ten receiver of the year. So that's a big deal for IU. Walt Fillier, on the other hand, both these guys were seniors in the same class. This was their last year of eligibility. So the only way they could come back was with this rule from the NCAA. WAP has decided to move on and give the NFL a shot. Cam Taylor, who was a grad transfer from South Alabama before last season, got injured in preseason practice and was just never fully healthy. That was his fifth year. This past season was his fifth year, so he's going to come back and take advantage of it. Mackenzie Nwora, who was also a fifth-year senior, is coming back. And will play for IU in 2021. Michael Ziemba, who was in the same class as WAP and Ty Freifogel, he was a fourth-year senior this past, but had played every year. He's going to come back for a fifth year and take advantage. Marcelino Ball, that's another big one. Now, Marcelino probably would have got a sixth year because he's had two injuries that have wiped out two seasons. But this is another guy who can take advantage, and he'll be back. And that's a big addition, obviously, for Indiana. And Raheem Lane, he's another guy. He didn't play this year. He's a safety because he got injured. And he would have had another year because he could have redshirted this year, but I think he counts as an exempt guy. Some guys who are not coming back, I mentioned WAP, Javon Swan. Jerome Johnson announced today that he's not coming back. Harry Kreider announced that he's not coming back. These guys are all going to try to, you know, give the NFL a shot. Jamar Johnson is the one non-senior who's not coming back. As far as when I say not coming back, they've had some guys hit the transfer portal, but a guy who's leaving to go to the NFL. Jamar obviously had a fantastic season at safety, and I think he's got a real shot to be drafted pretty high in the draft. He's got just great instincts and skills. So that's kind of the running list right now. I don't know if there's anybody else they're waiting on. You know, the other guy that could come back is Hayden Whitehead, but I believe his plan was always to move on after this season, so I don't expect him back. So I think they might be about done. There could be some more attrition. You never know. But as far as seniors and those decisions, I think all the guys have announced that he could either come back or stay for another year. I think they've all made their announcements.
Now, Matt, there have been some additions recently as well. We knew these were coming, but they've been made official by the school. One is Zach Carpenter, offensive lineman. He comes to Indiana from Michigan. He got a few opportunities to start and play this season for the Wolverines.
Yeah, Zach was a guy that I talked to. He was a 2019 recruit, so this was his redshirt freshman year. This past season, 2020 season was. He was out of Cincinnati Bowler. IU recruited him very, very hard. They really liked him, and he liked them a lot, too. And he had offers from, obviously, Michigan, but Clemson and some other big schools, and decided to go with Michigan. And you know, obviously, you know, for whatever reason, he got to play there. So I don't think it was a playing time issue. Like you mentioned, he started a couple times as a redshirt freshman. But I just think maybe he just wasn't comfortable, or, you know, just was looking for something different. So it's a big pickup. He's a big kid, 6'5", about 330 pounds. Can play all three of the – he actually started center at Michigan, but he could play both guard spots. And he'll have, assuming he wants to take advantage of this NCAA rule, he could have four more years of eligibility. At the very least, he'll have at least three. So it's like picking up getting a young guy, but you get him in your program and you get him for more than a season. So that was a really nice gig. Gives you depth on the O-line and a talented guy on the interior who should be able to come in and compete for a starting spot.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, our guest. Any other additions recently or expected additions? I know, obviously, the signings and transfers and things of that nature, we kind of know they're coming, but any other additions expected for this team in the offseason?
Yeah, well, the other one that just got announced, I think yesterday, Ryder Anderson, defensive lineman from Ole Miss, which is kind of interesting since IU played him. He actually played in that game and had three tackles and I think a sack and a tackle for loss or two. And he's a guy that started. They played 10 games this year. Ole Miss did. The bowl game was their 10th game. He started 9 of the 10 games And last year he started four of their first five games, got hurt against Alabama. So this is a guy that was in the rotation and was a key player for him, and had some nice stats. I mean, I think he was one of their top guys in tackles for loss and up there in sacks. And so he, quarterback hurries, the kind of things that Indiana needs from their D-line. I mean, he's a big guy, 6'6", about 275. They're going to play him on the edge, but he could also slide inside and play some three tech, maybe in certain like pass rushing type situations. So it's a really nice pickup. He's only a 1 year guy. You only get him for the 2021 season, but it's a nice pickup for 1 year and a guy that should be able to come in and hopefully help bolster the pass rush and give him a long athletic guy on the edge. And then, like I said, occasionally move it inside. So it's a really good, it was something they were looking for. They were looking for a Zach Carpenter type, and they were looking for, a guy like Ryder Anderson, an athletic defensive end who could really help him with pass rush.
Talking with Matt Weaver, the football writer for Pegs.com. Matt, before we let you go, as we look at recruiting this offseason, of course, into next high school season, from an in-state perspective, I know there's bigger fish to fry in some sense of the word. To grow the program, you need to have your connections elsewhere, which Tom Allen really seems to be building on that. But in-state, are there any guys coming up in the next year or two that are going to be standout? I know there are. Just tell us who they are that are going to be standout prospects that Indiana maybe a year or two ago couldn't have really had a chance with, but because of the changed success of the program and Tom Allen leading the way, Indiana might now have a chance to keep one of these great players from our state here.
Yeah, I think the two guys in the 2022 class that jump out to me are Joe Strickland. He's a defensive end from Indianapolis Brebeuf High School, and then Omar Cooper, Lawrence North, a teammate of Donovan McCauley and his top target the last couple of years there. Joe's a guy that he's a great kid. Got to know him, went to Washington play this past fall at Brebeuf, and he really likes Indiana. Now he's getting a ton of attention. I mean, a lot of big schools are after him, but he's a guy that Indiana has really positioned themselves well for. And I think this season has had a big impact. And then Omar, his friendship with Donovan, he's obviously a year younger, but they're close and they had great chemistry, like I said, on the field. And he's a big play guy. He really stood out in the games this year. Unfortunately, at the end of the football season, he tore his ACL. He's also a basketball player, like a lot of those guys at LN are. He'll miss the basketball season, but is scheduled to be back for his senior year of football. But those two guys kind of stand out. There's a DJ Moore, offensive lineman at Snyder. He's a guy that Indiana's really after. Taven Jackson, I think I mentioned him before on here. He's Trace Jackson Davis, his younger brother, quarterback at Center Grove. I would say those three or four guys are the guys that, they really, really like. Keelan Davis at Ben Davis is another one. Landon Livingston up at Leo High School, which is in the Fort Wayne area. So there's some good players in this upcoming class. They'd love to get Caden Curry from Center Grove. Is just a beast. I mean, he's an incredible player. That's going to be tough sledding. He's got offers from everybody. He's one of the best players in the country, not just Indiana. Kayante Goodwin, a big old lineman from not too far from you guys down at Charlestown.
Yeah.
He's actually from Louisville, but is across the river there at Charlestown. I know it's a smaller school, but he's a big kid, 6'7", 300, big tackle. There's some good players in this class, and Indiana's put themselves in a pretty good spot with a lot of them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this momentum with the program and even Tom Allen individually as the head coach, some of the praise and awards that he's received, see how this pays off for IU football moving forward. Matt Weaver, always our expert on IU football. Matt, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for the update.
Okay, take care, guys. Have a good week.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pegs.com. And just a couple things. Archie Miller talking to the media right now in advance of tomorrow night's IU-Purdue game. A couple interesting things, and it's hard for me to keep up with it while we're on the air here live, but Armon Franklin, a game-time decision. Archie Miller said he's definitely not 100%. Of course, he had an ankle sprain a few games back. Says he's done some running and a little bit of shooting recently, so it sounds like Armon Franklin could be one of those situations Thursday where he warms up on the court possibly, and you won't know until we get to the game if he gets any playing time in that rivalry contest Thursday night. Also, Archie Miller says that Parker Stewart is just now starting to get, he said, integrated with our group. So he had a quarantine when he arrived on campus. And here's a quote I'm reading from Zach Osterman here of the Indianapolis Star. He's tweeting out some of the things that Archie's saying. He said, quote, he's not anywhere near joining us for practice or anything like that. Says he's got physical exams, daily testing, could start practicing next week. So if you're looking at the addition of Parker Stewart coming to Indiana for this second semester, it sounds like that he's progressing but still not practicing. That could begin next week, and then once he begins practicing, who knows how long or how quickly he is inserted into the lineup for a trial run. We assume that the plan is for him to play at some point here in this second semester, but even that is not officially confirmed by Archie Miller or the school just yet. Last night, Kentucky lost to Alabama. It was the worst home loss under John Calipari in Lexington last night. Kentucky just starting to maybe turn the corner after their 1-6 start. But I think last night, Alabama, even a little shorthanded, you could call that maybe a setback for Kentucky. So interesting to see that. And as we head to commercial break, I saw John Rothstein tweet this, and I thought this was very appropriate for how crazy this college hoops season has been so far. He tweeted this. Number one, John Calipari and Bill Self, two Hall of Famers, have each suffered the worst home losses of their respective current tenures this season. Number two, Michigan State is 2-4 in Big Ten play. And number three, this is interesting as well, Duke's best win of the season is at Notre Dame, who has a record of 3 wins, 7 losses. And those things kind of tell you how topsy-turvy and crazy this college basketball season has been so far as we head to the latter half of January coming up here in just a few days. We'll head to a break, come back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by Major League Shirt Company. We'll talk some hoops and what's ahead for high school basketball. A big weekend starting with an early game tomorrow night in girls basketball. We'll tell you all about that next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins us for his weekly chat on local sports presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com. to find out more. Josh, I saw you last night for a few moments at the doghouse snapping some photos as the Bulldogs defeated Southwestern of Hanover. And the New Albany-Jeff game was odd at Jeff because so few fans in attendance for such a big game. There have been some other real weird moments, I think, for all of us, players, coaches, media, fans. But last night at New Albany, seeing that gym set up so very different, and not seeing the normal fans, even for a Tuesday night game that you expect, definitely a weird moment for me of this year.
Yeah, it was definitely odd to see that set up, but all the bleachers down behind the scorer's table, but all the chairs set up on the benches. But that's the way it is nowadays. Just gotta roll with it. But yeah, it was definitely odd to see that, but you got to do what you got to do in order to play basketball at this point in time.
Yeah, no question. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Big weekend of games, and I feel like once we get through the holidays and some of the holiday tournaments, that we really get into some big regular season games this month, and it starts with New Albany Jeff. It continues this week with Floyd Central, Jeffersonville, Providence on Saturday. There are some other games as well, but Thursday night, don't want to overlook that. Tomorrow night, while Indiana and Purdue are playing, and if it wasn't for that IU-Purdue game, I would be there, and we wanted to broadcast the game, but a huge girls showdown. Silver Creek, who's had a tremendous season, beat number one Crown Point in 4A a few weeks ago. they take on Bedford North Lawrence, who we know what type of program Bedford has on the girls' side. They've just been dominant the last number of years in Southern Indiana, winning some state championships as well. But this one's been on the calendar for some time. It's a big girls game, and it will tell us more about this Silver Creek group that Scott Shane has, and if maybe they could bring home a state title and make a run into the tournament later this year.
Yeah, definitely a huge test, a huge game. You know, it was supposed to be played earlier, but obviously got pushed back, postponed due to COVID. But you know, should be just a huge, huge girls game. You know, Silver Creek 14-2 or 15-2. I'm sorry, and B&L 14-2. B&L lost last night, though, kind of surprising, at Columbus East in a Hoosier Hills Conference game. But but it was only 1 point. I think it was 67-66. And also previously lost to Brownsburg by 1 point. So B&L has two losses, both by 1 point this year. And, you know, Silver Creek lost to two 4A teams, North Central and Westfield, to beat 4A Crown Point when it was number one, and won at Salem last week and last Saturday in a huge game, a huge mid-center conference game. They were in control most of that game, but Salem came back at the end. But Silver Creek was able to hold them off. But this will be a huge, huge test, a huge kind of litmus test for them. Last year, Bedford just absolutely blew their doors off in Bedford, beat them by 31 points. And that was after Silver Creek surprised them, kind of beat them in the summertime. So Silver Creek definitely has a lot to play for here, a lot of motivation. And then after that, they've got another MSC game on Saturday against Austin, and three of the last four games are actually MSC games. So they're trying to wrap up their first ever Mid-Southern Conference title as well. So huge last couple of weeks here for the Dragons, that's for sure.
And that's key. Last couple of weeks, we will be to the girls' postseason before we know it. I think a lot of local teams have four, five, or six games left on the regular season schedule. And, of course, that tournament starts well before the boys does that first week of March. So it's good to see, and I hope that healthiness and somewhat on schedule continues, especially when you get to the postseason. But it's hard to believe we are headed in the home stretch of the girls' season for 2020-2021. Big games this weekend. I'm curious your thoughts on Floyd Central at Jeffersonville, Hoosier Hills Conference game. These teams actually scrimmaged a week or two before Jeffersonville was shut down for their pause due to COVID-19, an outbreak and some quarantining and things that had to take place. But they'll meet for the regular season version, and I expect a competitive game. If you look at the comparative scores and you think about the matchups and the talent on both teams, really should be, I think, a very competitive matchup at Johnson Arena on Friday.
I expect a three-pointer at the buzzer. That's what I expect if recent history is coming into play. That's what's happened the last 2 years. What was it, Darren Starks 2 years ago in Johnson Arena, and then Jacob Jones last year up at Floyd. Banked in a three at the buzzer. I mean, two thrillers. So we'll see if this one can live up to those two. It'll be hard to duplicate that, but you know, it's definitely possible. You know, Floyd and Jeff both off to decent starts, and Jeff's 3-3. I'm sure Andrew Grant would like to see his record a little more on the other side of the win-loss column. But you know, big weekend for them. You know, hosting Floyd on Friday night in a huge HJC game, and then you know, Saturday night Andrew returns home, plays at Providence. Definitely some intriguing storylines here this weekend in both games for Jeff.
Talking with Floyd, Josh Cook. Go ahead, Josh.
I apologize, Matt. And then Floyd, you know, turns right around, and after they play Jeff on Friday night, they get North Harrison on Saturday night. So, you know, just both teams have huge back-to-backs this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking to Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. I want to close with last night's game. Probably should have started with the New Albany win over Southwestern Hanover, but New Albany with the victory improves to 7-3. We've seen some good moments. New Albany started the season four straight wins, including a victory over Floyd Central, but then three straight losses, a bad one at Zionsville, a fairly close game at home, a loss to Carmel, and then they gave up a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter to lose to Blackford back on December 22nd. Got back in the win column with a victory over Seymour, but it was kind of ugly, 29-29 at the end of regulation. Took overtime for New Albany to win that game. But last Friday at Jeff, it looked like a different New Albany team. And last night against a good Southwestern team, it looked like a different New Albany team. And a lot of that has to do with the backcourt that can score it and handle it. That's Bivin and Stanton.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, as you said, 7-3 so far, which a little surprising to me. Not that they're 7-3, but that they've beaten Floyd and they've beaten Jeff, just because, you know, what they lost last year in the front court. But as you mentioned, you know, they got Tucker Bivin and Caden Stanton in the backcourt, and you know, basketball today is all about it's all about the guards. It's a guard centric game at this point. You know, the fast paced 3-point shooting game. Fast paced a little bit. It wasn't too fast paced, I guess, in the Jeff New Albany game last week, but you know, it's just a real guard centric game, and if you have good guards nowadays, I mean, you can win games, you can go pretty far. So New Albany is definitely going to be a tough out. I know we're still a long way away from the tournament, but you know, when you've got guard play like that, it's a hard it's going to be a hard team to beat, and they've got a big weekend too. Madison, you know, is a pretty good, and they've won some games. They won at Bedford last night on a last-second shot. Madison's 8-2, so Sharon's got them playing well. And then, you know, New Albany visits Scottsburg on Saturday night, so big back-to-back for them. And then next Friday night, I guess, is the big test for New Albany, is when they host Silver Creek. That'll be just an enormous game, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by Major League Shirt Company. Josh, thanks for going through the area hoops with us. Appreciate it. Look forward to it for next week on Wednesday.
All right. Sounds good, Matt. Thanks. Take care, and everybody be safe.
Absolutely. This segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They can help if you're looking to raise money for your team or event. Let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more at mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. That's it for this Wednesday show. Back with you Thursday at 11 a.m. We'll talk IU hoops and get ready for the IU-Purdue game and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.